Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Tamil Nadu Mercantile Bank Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantee of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I now hand the conference over to Mr. S. Krishnan, MD and CEO, Tamil Nadu Mercantile Bank Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, a warm welcome to all analysts, investors, and stakeholders joining us today. A very good morning. I hope this message finds you all in good health and spirits. I am pleased to present the financial results and performance highlights of Tamil Nadu Mercantile Bank for the first quarter of the fiscal 2024. Before delving into the details, I would like to express my sincere gratitude for all your continuous support and trust in TMB. The first quarter of the fiscal 2023-24 has been encouraging, with the bank continuing its legacy of consistently delivering positive results since its inception more than 100 years ago. We have been steadfast in our commitment in generating profits and rewarding our shareholders suitably. Let's get straight into the highlights of the performance of the bank for the Q1 of the fiscal 2024. The performance details, the PowerPoint presentation to the investors, have already been uploaded in the website of both the stock exchanges and also the site of our bank. Nevertheless, I will give a brief on the performance of the bank for the ready information of my analyst friends. The total deposits of the bank grew by 8.73% year-on-year, while the advances grew by 10.26%. Within the advances, if we look into, the RAM segment has grown by about 12.86%. The total overall business grew by 9.4%. The bank's profitability has also increased. The bank registered an increase of about 12% in the net profit compared with the year-on-year, registering a net profit of 261 crore. The non-interest income, again, registered a growth of 20% about, while compared with the previous year's first quarter, registering an amount of rupees 167 crore during the current year, first quarter. Similarly, the interest income has also increased by 15% compared to the previous year, reaching an amount of rupees 1,156 crore during the first quarter. When I look into the parameters which directly has on the interest for the stakeholders, the net worth has increased to 7,190 crore as on 30th of June 2023, from 5,427 crore. The book value of the share has gone up to 454.03 from 380.87 crore. The asset quality, when we look into the asset quality, the NPA has come down to 1.56%, the gross NPA, from 1.69% a year ago, and the net NPA has also come down to 0.66%. The bank's return on assets is 1.85%, and the return on equity stands at 14.80%, with a very strong capital adequacy of 26.57%, of which the CET1 alone is about 24.94%. The cost-to-income ratio is at 44.22%. Now, let me also touch upon some of the guidance what we gave to the street at the beginning of the year, and almost we are more or less on the same line. As far as the NIM is concerned, we said that we will be 4+, and we are 4% in NIM as on 30th of June. The ROA, we gave you a band of 1.75% to 2%. We are at 1.85%. ROE, we said 15+. We are close to that at 14.8. And gross NPA and net NPA, we said below 2 and 1% respectively. We have honored that with 1.56 and 0.66. The provision coverage ratio, we said in the band of 88% to 90%, we are 90+. The cost income ratio, we said 42 to 44%. Almost we are on the band with 44.22%. The credit cost, we said about the band of 0.5 to 0.75. The credit cost is at 0.5%. The slippage ratio was set as less than 1% per year. The slippage ratio for the Q1 is 0.27, which translates to, for a year, almost to 1%. Friends, I will stop here for the brevity in as much as the PowerPoint presentation in detail, and you being on the analyst, you might have definitely made a good analysis. I will now throw the floor open to all analysts for an interaction. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Lakshmi Narayan from Tunga Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir.
Very good morning, Lakshmi Narayan, sir.
Yeah, a couple of questions. First is, if you look at the yield across retail, agri, MSME and corporate, right? Can you just give me a range of yield across these four different classes?
Which one you need yield in on retail on the RAM segment?
No, retail, agri, MSME separately and the corporate.
Okay. I have noted, sir. We will share with you.
Okay. So second is that if you look at the top 20 borrowers, right? How much is top 20 borrowers contributing from the assets base?
1 minute. Mr. Lakshmi, sir, I will give during the course of this.
Okay. Sir, and coming to the MSME segment, right, and if again further divide back into the micro, small and the medium, right, in which segment you are seeing growth is lower comparatively, and in which segment you find that there is a building up of stress, if you think?
I can give the growth in this MSME breakup. Micro year on year has grown by 1.34%. QOQ it is by 1.42%. Small has grown by 27.79% year on year, and QOQ is almost flat or slightly lower. The medium sector has grown by 6.54% year on year, and the QOQ is almost flat. Sorry, medium, I'm sorry, that is the total of MSME what I said. The medium is has degrown by about 4.57% year on year and about 6% QOQ. Of course, the base is small. The medium base is only 860 crores as on 30th of June. The overall MSME has grown by about 5.74% year on year.
Got it. So the smallest one, which has grown 1.34%, what is the grossing value in terms of the asset size?
Can you be a little louder, if you don't mind?
So the smallest growth, I mean the growth that is 1.34% you mentioned in terms of micro, right? What is the total gross assets there?
Asset size is 9,500 crore.
Okay. Now, so the growth has come from predominantly in the middle segment, right? And it has been flat or 1% plus in the first segment. Now, is it because the system is not growing, or is it because of competitive intensity, or is it that you choose not to grow because you think that stress is building up, or what is the reason you would say attribute for these things?
I will only say that as far as the MSME is concerned, which I have told earlier also, after this COVID, now the activities are picking up. We could see the green shoots. When the capacities are increasing, naturally the MSME also will grow. The capacities have started. We are able to see the green shoots on the increase in the capacity at a minimal level for the large corporates. These MSMEs are basically dependent on the large corporates. They will be surrounding the large corporates, and hence the demand also is slightly on this one. And when I talk of about you said or you choosy, yes, we have been on keeping in mind asset quality. We are also choosy. Nevertheless, we are with open mind for taking up. So with that cautious approach, we could make a decent growth. Coming to the yield on advances, which you asked for the RAM segment, I have the data. The agriculture yield is 8.9%, MSME is 11.12%, the retail is 9.19%.
And corporate, sir?
That will be around 9.13 or 15.
Got it. And the small segment, which has actually grown stupendously, 37%, right? What would you attribute that growth? Is it an impetus from the organization to push growth, or the segment itself has been growing?
Segment is growing. When the segment is growing, and also the untapped market where we have the push, where we give the push, because the MSME is basically the thrust area for our bank. So keeping that in mind, naturally there will be a push to increase that. Within that MSME, when we look into where it grows, we are able to see good potentials or good growth in the small segment. So that has increased.
Got it. And how do you anticipate growth for your bank for the coming year? What is the range in terms of advances growth you expect? And especially we are very strong with the MSME segment, and for some reason it is actually growing slower pace, right? So keeping that in mind, what is the advances growth you expect for the full year? What band you budgeted for?
Yeah. For the bank as a whole, as I said earlier also, the guidance to the street is that we will be growing in the range of 12 to 15%. That is what we have said, and we also try to follow that we promise less and deliver more. That is what we have said. So we promise that it will be 12 to 15%, and then coming within that, how much will be the MSME will be in the range of around 10 to 12%, keeping in mind what we have grown now, while our focus will be on that. Wherever opportunities are there, we will be, and we will be having a cautious approach.
Got it. So one question related to the gold loans, right? I've seen that across these various private banks, regional banks in particular, the gold loan book has almost come to 25% of the assets, right? Now, it seems to be you don't need to deploy capital, and it also gets various benefits in terms of subvention or in terms of becoming part of the priority sector. Now, given that conceptually, you think there is a risk for the banking system if any of these things gets adjusted by the regulator, How do you think about this? Because everyone has actually gone strong on gold loans, and it actually brings a lot of benefits to the bank, right? So the your adjusted ROA would be much higher in this thing, and this even regulator would know, right? So how do you think about this from a risk mitigation point of view? I'm not talking only about your bank, but in general, what is your view? Sir, did you hear my question, or should I repeat the regarding the gold?
Can you repeat? You are talking on the jewel loan.
Yeah, so on the gold loan for all the private sector banks, particularly regional private banks in South, the gold loans have almost reached 25% of the asset book, right? And the gold loan is a very good product from the bank point of view, because you don't need to deploy capital. That is, you know, it's a completely secure, and also it gives subvention benefits for the borrower, and it's also agriculture led, right? Now, since it's becomes such a good product, it has actually grown a lot. Do you think there may be any intervention from the regulator? If so, how does bank would mitigate it, right? Because you are making higher ROA adjusted, and it gives a lot of benefits to the bank, right? So what is the risk the bank system carries by having such a large gold loan book?
Okay, now I will answer this not as a MD of TMB, because you are asking about how the regulator will be viewing for the industry, right?
Yeah, and industry, and what is the, I mean, how banks have to think about it from a sensitivity, right? From a risk mitigation point of view, from a regulatory risk point of view.
As far as the regulator is concerned, the regulator will be looking into from the aspects as to it should not be for one, the end use of the funds. I am talking on any credit. It should not be for the purpose like gambling and other things. So it should be for the purpose which is eligible. By and large, the banks, particularly which you said as the private banks, that too in the southern part of the country, they give mostly for the agriculture. So what is required is to ensure the end use of the funds, that it is used for the agriculture, if it is given for the agriculture. But there is also not a restriction that it cannot be given for any other purpose. It can be given for non-agriculture also. The other aspect which the regulator can look into is the regulator has given a SOP that it doesn't have a requirement of a capital. That is, it is a eligible financial collateral under Basel III guidelines. When it comes as the eligible financial collateral, there are methods of valuing the financial eligible financial collaterals with the applicable haircuts. Now, that comes the question of the LTV. The LTV needs to be maintained. If the LTV is maintained, that can be. There are methodology of calculating the haircuts on the financial collaterals, eligible financial collateral. Gold is one of that collateral. There is a system of mark-to-market, the frequency of mark-to-market. So as a regulator, what he will be looking into is whether these guidelines are scrupulously followed by the regulated entity. If they are not followed by the regulated entity, then he can say, one, that I will not give you the benefit of the eligible financial collateral for your capital calculation purpose. Number two, the regulatory guideline, if there is, for example, the quality of the pledge becomes spurious, then the secured advance may become unsecured advances. The additional provisioning that will be required for the unsecured advance may have to be put. So like this, they can bring in the conditions. So this is what I perceive from the regulator. But this jewel loan, gold jewel loan, is not a new product for the banking industry in India. At least with my experience of more than four decades, I can say that this product is in existence even before I entered the banking industry. Hence, I don't foresee much of the interference from the regulator, except on case-to-case basis where as a part of their supervision, they do lot of exercise. So on case-to-case basis, they may, if they find, they may give the advisory to the individual banks. And as far as the TMB is concerned, I can say that we have a robust system of valuation of the gold. marking to market almost on daily basis in the system itself. So we do not foresee any such, whatever I said, what the regulator can look into. So these things we ourselves proactively are looking into, following up with the LTV almost on daily basis. So we don't foresee any issues on these things.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Lakshmi Narayan. May we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions, as there are several participants waiting for their turn. Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mr. Arvind R. from Sundaram Alternates. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I see like NPA ratio had gone up sequentially, and I could also see like MSME segment also contributing to in a big way. MSME segment hasn't grown up that much, but still the NPA has gone up. I'm just trying to get an understanding like what is going on in this particular segment, where to which segment, you know, which particular part of the segment we think, you know, it could grow in the subsequent quarters. That is my first question.
Sharavind, the latter part of your question is not audible.
Okay, sir. I don't know like which part of the question, but I was asking like NPA has gone up sequentially, you know, especially in the MSME segment. That is one of our core segments, and you know, and we haven't grown that much in the past year also. Like it's only less than 6% growth. I'm just trying to understand, like even though the growth is slow, but NPA is going up. So that is what I'm trying to reconcile, sir. But also, one more thing on the same thing. Restructured advance is also coming down. Is it also because of that? Like, as the restructured book is coming out to the normal, that is also contributing to NPA or something?
Okay. I will answer as far as the NPA going up sequentially. Yes, if we look into the number per se, it has gone up to 1.56 from 1.39 on a sequential quarter. So the number speaks that it has gone up. But one has to look into that, what is the level of gross NPA of the bank? 1.56, is that 1.56? Is a reasonable number. In my opinion, 1.56 is not a cause of concern for one quarter from 1.39. Having said that, your next question is on the MSME. See, the MSME are generally fragile, and that needs a lot of handholding and other things. If you look into the industry as a whole, what is the MSME NPA and what is the MSME NPA of TMB, you can see that there is a wide difference. We are still able to maintain a better quality. The restructured book is coming down, one, because we are able to also have a recovery. I will give you the numbers of the restructured book and also the NPAs in that. 1 minute. The total restructured book has come down from 786 crore. To 703 crore as on 20th of June, of which the NPA has come down to 87.29 crore. So that indicates that it is not only that the restructured book is coming down, and then we also maintain the NPA of the restructured. So if I look into that, the NPA is also coming down. Having said, yes, this restructured book needs to be closely followed up, monitored, which we are doing. Thus, we are able to maintain to a greater extent. During this quarter, there was a total slippage of 101 crore in the NPA, of which the major shock, the biggest advance is just about 15 crore. That indicates that, yes, the others are smaller. For your information, when I look into the slippage of 101 crore, the slippage in the MSME constitutes 60 crore against 63 crore in the previous quarter, sequential quarter. So that indicates that yes, the slippage in the MSME is not alarming to that extent which we need to. Having said, the bank is fully cognizant of the stress in the industry. More particularly, we will be focusing on the MSME which needs extra care. For your information, I can say that the gross NPA ratio in 22-23 for the scheduled commercial banks in respect of MSME were touched 6.1%.
Okay, sir. Thank you. I just one more question if I can ask. CASA ratio is also declining. Obviously, it is decreasing for almost all the banks that I have seen till now. But I'm just trying to understand, like, where do you see, like, in terms of, you know, cost of deposits, you know, shaping up in the, for the rest of the year? Like, either in terms of CASA ratio coming down or even rates for the term deposits, you know, still have to kept up to keep the deposits within the bank.
Well, when the across the globe, the regulators started tightening and increasing the rate of interest to contain the inflation, the Indian regulators were also doing that, sucking the liquidity available in the market. This has ultimately translated into drying up of the surplus funds, which will normally be parked in the CASA. Hence, the CASA across the industry has come down substantially. As rightly observed by you, I can only add some indicative numbers. Almost 200 bits on an average, the CASA has come down for almost many of the banks. So I can see across the industry. We cannot be exception to that. Our CASA has come down against that of 200 bits, has come down by 100 bits. The supplement to this is the cost of deposit, as I said. When the surplus funds are drying up, the demand for the cost increases. If you recollect last year, almost all the banks, the interest were increased substantially. The TMB waited for a longer time without increasing the cost. Then we also to have comparative competitive rates in the market. We increased our cost somewhere at the end, in the February, end of the last fiscal, in the month of February, I remember. We came out with a special product with a higher rate of interest. We mobilized the funds. After that, we stopped the product in the month of May. So this has resulted into the increased cost of deposits for all the banks and also to TMB.
Sure, sir. I just wanted to understand, like, if you think that there will be any warrant requirement of increasing deposit rates further.
I don't foresee in the near future for my bank.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mr. Prabal from Ambit. Please go ahead.
Hi. Am I audible?
Yeah, you are audible.
Sir, congratulations, Mr. Krishnan, for the quota.
Thank you.
My first question is, sir, can you highlight what is your liquidity coverage ratio?
1 minute. LCR. Liquidity coverage ratio. Yeah, I will give you during the course. Yeah.
Second question would be, how many employees are currently on the union model, and a supplement to that could be if you can talk about the recent hiring that we have done at the senior level.
See, I have a total employee strength of around 4,500 nearly. Out of that 4,500, you said the union model. I presume that you are referring to the wage structure of the IBA model. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. If that being the case, the employees whom I have recruited in the last 2 years, which will be very minimal in the number, maybe around 400 or 500 employees will be there. Barring them, the rest of around 4,000 or in the IBA model. But We have our own settlement. It is not exactly the IBA. We are not a signatory to the IBA-based settlement. We have our own settlement with our employees union and the officers association. Now, having said that, we are also working on, we are having the discussions with our employees representatives for those people also to have a different package. Now, if you have to answer your question, around 4,000 people will be in the IBA model.
And at the senior level, have you done any recent hiring from the market at senior head positions?
Senior head position.
Yes.
So senior head position, I have hired my general manager today. It has been hired less than a year back. My general manager in information technology is hired about a year and a half or so. My CFO, a senior person, is hired about 2 years back. So likewise, we have a CTO who is also hired from the market about 2.5 years back. So these are some of the people whom we have hired at the senior level.
Sir, third question
is, Prabhal, you asked LCR. LCR is
209%.
209%.
209, is that right?
209.
209. Those are now. Okay. Sir, and when are we planning to utilize this? Because 200% plus LCR is quite high for us. So are we planning to utilize this to maybe cushion margins for us?
Yeah, we are planning. If you say that, I gave the guidance of the business growth at a moderate level of 12 to 15%. And I also said that we want to, we follow that we commit less and deliver more like that. So we will be definitely utilizing this in the period to come with the increase in the advanced business. We will be using that. And before that, Mr. Lakshmi Narayanan was asking about top 20 borrowers. Mr. Lakshmi Narayan, can please note that it's around the exposure is around 3,200 crore approximately. That is the exposure, and the outstanding is 1,700 crore. Sorry, Mr. Prabal, please go ahead.
Yes, my next question was on jewel loans within the agriculture book. So if you can just highlight what is the nature of these loans, maybe in terms of ticket size, tenor, and the kind of repayment design you have for these loans.
Okay. The jewel loan can be broadly classified into two categories. That is what mainly we give. One for the agriculture purpose and another is for the non-agriculture purpose. Normally, the jewel loan for non-agriculture purpose is for a tenor of about 1 year, and the agriculture goes with the agriculture CSA. We also have a key cash credit type backed with the jewel loan. The average ticket size of this jewel loan will be around 1 to 2 lakhs, 1 lakh.
And my last question, sir, in your press release, it says that we are opening some loan processing centers. So if you can talk about what kind of loans will be processed via these centers. And also if you can elaborate, what was the process earlier that bank used to follow?
Your question is not very audible. We have plans to... Hello?
My question is, sir, on the loan processing centers.
Loan processing center. Okay, fine. See, I told you last time that we have taken up a business process re-engineering project. As a part of that, on the first phase, we have taken up the MSME front. And this project for the MSME is in the implementation stage. As one of the first measures, what we did was we have established MSME hubs at 4 centers, Chennai, Coimbatore, Madurai, and Tuticorin. These 4 centers we have established. These MSME hubs are headed by very experienced, seasoned executives who will be able to take a call quickly. These executives in the hubs are well assisted by trained credit analysts. This brings me an advantage of having a good quality processing. The third, we have also posted relationship managers at all these hubs. These relationship managers have their feet on the street. They are in contact with the potential and also the existing customers to understand their needs, source the application, and then the due diligence are done by a separate team so that I ensure the quality of underwriting. This has been started very recently. I am able to see good traction, encouraging results. Of course, as far as the number is concerned, it is too early to tell the numbers. We will be watching for another 2 months or so. Probably, possible, I would love to meet every one of you even in the mid of the quarter, where I will be able to share with you actually the numbers which has come out of these hubs.
So just to clarify, these hubs will be processing not just the loan brought in by relationship managers, but also from the branches.
What I have done is, to begin with, I have linked all these branches to the hub. That is in these centers, in these four centers. Anything you want will be implemented in a big organization or in a phased manner. So I have chosen these four centers. The branches which are linked, situated in these centers are linked to these hubs. And there I have also given a cutoff that any advances above 50 lakhs to begin with will be processed by the hub, and below that will continue to be processed by the branches themselves. Over the period of time, with the establishment and the hub stabilizing itself, we will be slowly bringing down the 50 lakhs cutoff to a lower limit, and eventually over a period of time, all the MSMEs will be brought to the hub. We are also in the process of having a digitized loan originating system, which will ensure free and smooth flow of the applications. The leads which are generated through the relationship managers, it will be like a funnel where it will be coming in, and the hub will be processing it. There will be a quick. We have yesterday, if I'm right, the purchase order for the procurement of the loan originating system, one of the state-of-the-art loan originating system available in the country. We have entered into an agreement with the service provider. Yesterday we gave the purchase order. Hope that we'll be able to roll over it as quickly as possible, which will enable my customers to have a good digital experience also.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Sonal Minas from Prescient Cap Investment Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, this is Sonal. Am I audible?
Yeah, good morning Mr. Sonal. How are you?
All well, sir. How are you? Hope all
fine. Thank you. Good.
Sir, I had a bookkeeping question. Just wanted to understand your size of your gold loan portfolio. Its LTV and its tonnage, if these are round about figures you could disclose, just to understand how large the gold portfolio is.
My size of gold loan portfolio is around 10,200 to 10,500 crore approximately. Right, and it consists of around 9 lakh accounts approximately. The LTV ratio is maintained at 85%, 15% is the margin. So LTV is maintained at 85%, as I was responding to earlier to Mr. Lakshmi Narayanan, that the bank has a good system of marking to market almost on a daily basis across all the branches.
Okay. And the tonnage would be roughly how much? Just curious, how much gold will you be managing?
Hello?
Clear, not clear.
You are not audible.
Mr. Sonal, may we request you to use your handset for optimum audio quality? Thank you.
Sure. I was just asking what would be the tonnage of the gold loan portfolio?
What would be
the tonnage?
Tonnage.
I don't have right now. I don't have the tonnage of the gold.
No. So I had a follow-on question on the MSME sector, because I think in the last call we were in, I did ask you about the quality of the proposals that you're getting. And I think you did mention that the quality both in Tamil Nadu, Kerala, Karnataka region seems to be healthy. But right now, from what I'm hearing from the callers, the discussion with the callers earlier, seems like the MSME portfolio, you are a little cautious on reviewing the portfolios that are coming to you. So just wanted to understand, is there a change? What has happened? And maybe I'm getting it wrong. Just trying to understand the quality of the MSME proposals that you're getting across the 3-4 states you're dominant in.
No, I probably gives more clarity on what I said. I didn't said that there is a concern or anything like that. Rather, I was telling that out of the total slippage, if I look into for Q1, which amounted to around 101 crore, my MSME, normally, yes, MSME was fragile and I have large exposure. So there definitely the slippage portion also will be a little higher. But when I compare this slippage with the previous quarter sequentially in the last quarter, that is Q4 of the last year, the slippage in the MSME was 63 crore and during the Q1, the slippage is 60 crore, which indicates that by and large, we are maintaining the same quality, rather marginally it has improved because the slippage has come down from 63 to 60. So I still stand back to the quality what we get. Of course, when I say the quality what we get, we have to do the due diligence. As a lender, we are cautious, we will be doing the due diligence and we will be taking a good quality book.
Understand. And with more centralization technology and the consulting fees you're talking about, the quality of diligence, the comparison of proposals, even access to cash flows of these companies to understand the quality of the data that is being submitted, will that all improve over time? Just this is more like thinking to understand how is the MSME book going to be in the next 1 or 2 years.
In the next 1 or 2 years, I expect a good improvement in the MSME book of my bank. The stress ratio coming down reasonably well in the next 1 or 2 years. As you rightly observed, with the centralization, putting in the ruling chain, the quality of the assessment, the underwriting, the monitoring, today a lot of tools are available. We will be able to ring fence the cash flows. With all those things, I am sure that the quality will improve reasonably well in the next 1 to 2 years.
Understand this. Thank you a lot for answering my questions. Have a nice day. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Co. Please go ahead.
Namaskar, sir, and thank you for this opportunity. Sir, firstly, if you could give us some granular details of the increase in the treasury income for this quarter, and I think so this line item supported our numbers for the quarter, and also what explains the reduction in the profit for the retail banking segment, these two segment results.
Okay.
See, as far as the treasury income is concerned, my interest income has gone up, right? With the investments going up and also the rate of interest firming up, on the year-on-year it has gone up. So that is one. And my profit on sale of investments is almost flat till the market is yet to get up to get me a profit. So that is the main reason for this. And last year, you know, the market was bad, which necessitated mark-to-market provisioning, which was additional burden last Q1, which is not there this time. Hope that in the now it has turned, there is no mark-to-market. In the coming period of this fiscal, maybe by Q3 or Q4, I expect that the market will turn positive, will be able to get profits on the sale.
No, sir, when we are comparing your treasury income on a year-on-year basis, it is flat. But on a Q-on-Q basis, it has moved up significantly. So just to understand the nature of the same, what factors will contribute to it and what should be its trajectory? Are you in a position to comment on the same? And on the retail banking segment, we have seen a decline Q-on-Q. If you could explain the same answer. Also, if you could give us some trajectory of what the NIMs for the year would likely to be, what should we look in terms of the ROA, and what should be the our the provision as per the book?
First, the segment, probably you are picking up from the segment reporting on your questions or on that, am I right?
Yes, sir, from the segmental portion.
Okay. I will request my CFO to be in touch with you, and he will give the necessary details on the breakup of these sequential quarter comparison, both on the treasury and also the retail banking. Coming to what will be the guidance on the return on assets, I said that my return on assets, the guidance given is in the range of 1.75% to 2, which we will be maintaining. The NIM, as far as the NIM is concerned, it will be 4 plus.
I'll join the queue again. I request the moderator to just send me back 2-3% and I'll just join in 2 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, most welcome, Mr. Saket.
Yeah, moderator, please, aap mujhe teen logo ke piche kar dijiye, I'll join.
Thank you, sir. Our next question is from the line of Jai Mundra from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good morning and thanks for the opportunity.
Very good morning, Mr. Jai Mundra. How are you?
I am good, sir. How are you?
Fine, fine.
Great. Yeah. Great, sir. My first question is on margins, right? So, you know, not this quarter, you know, of course, they have declined, but even from a YOY perspective or the entire cycle perspective, we have seen margins which have not improved. Actually, they have deteriorated. If you look at yields, then they have been more or less range bound, like in the slide that you have given, that the yields on YOY basis, they were 9.48 and then they have improved to 9.82. But it's a similar has been the pressure on cost of deposits and cost of funds. So margins have been more or less stagnated, whereas all other banks in the last 3 to 4 quarters have seen significant rise in the net interest margin. So what is the reasons for, you know, limited margin expansion? At the same time, our growth has also been, you know, more or less normalized growth. So when we are, you know, cautious on growth, the margins have been actually on a downhill. So wanted to understand what is the reason.
Okay. Mr. Madhura, if you look into today across the banking industry itself, there is a pressure on the cost of deposits. Deposit costs have substantially gone up for every bank. Accordingly, for us also it has gone up. So it is a temporary phenomena. I expect that this will ease out in the next quarter or so. It will be coming down. As I was explaining earlier to the earlier speaker, last year, we postponed increasing the deposit rate and we increased it only at the fake end of the last fiscal, that is in the month of February. Now that full impact has come on the Q1. That is why it looks that the cost has gone up. Normally in banks, particularly in EMB, I can say that the Q1 will be a dull lull on the, this one for various reasons. One such will be on the people movement. There will be large scale transfers, replacement, other things. So normally there will be a lull period. Nevertheless, if you look into the growth has been moderate. I will say that's around 10%, 9% or so. The advanced growth is around 10.26%. With that it has. Now my NIM is 4. I feel that yes, it will, it's likely to go up in the coming quarters. That is what I expect. So keeping that in mind only, we have given the guidance of 4+, and you will definitely agree with me that a NIM of 4 is reasonably a good NIM when we compare the industry in the country, barring few tail ends.
Right. No doubt, sir. The NIM at 4% is very healthy. What I was trying to understand is that it has not improved to the extent of what other banks have seen improvement. In fact, it has declined on YOY basis, and last 2-3 quarters it has been declining on a sequential basis. Are you sensing some, let us say, competition, more competition when you were to increase your yield on advances, or you think the competitive intensity is same as, let's say, last 12 months has not changed?
No, there is increased competition which cannot be refuted by anyone. So that is also one of the reasons. That when that comes, then we have to, and we take a very, very calculated steps. We have a good ALCO which deliberates on that, and I hope that this 4% is likely to go up in the coming period.
Right. Okay. And sir, you said that from now onwards, the margin should be more or less stabilized here, right, at 4% near about. Is that the right understanding?
Yeah, that's the right understanding. Margin is, I don't expect to go down. Rather, it may be marginally going up from now onwards. It should move northward.
So why would that be? I mean, is that the cost of deposits have repriced almost to the extent that, you know, cost of deposits should not rise, or how?
No, cost of repricing of the cost of, I mean, the deposits have taken place as far as my bank is concerned, almost. And in the near future, of course, it's the ALCO's call. I don't expect that the rate will be increasing in the deposit front. So I have, the ALCO had their planning, and whatever we were to mobilize, we have mobilized. We discontinued that product which was having the higher rate of interest. So I, with all these things in back, I feel that going forward, my margin will be improving steadily.
Right. And sir, if you have the breakup of your loan book by MCLR, EBLR and working capital and term loan, I mean these two cuts, that A, one by benchmark as to how much is MCLR, how much is EBLR, T-bills, etc. And the second would be how much is working capital loan and how much is term loan.
See, as far as the MCLR and EBLR is concerned, it is almost 50-50, or it may be something like 48-52, which is miska farka. Yeah. So it's not much. So we can say 50-50 will be the MCLR and EBLR. As far as the working capital and term loan is concerned, I will request our people to give you the exact numbers. Normally, there is a lag of about 3 months in affecting the 3 to 6 months, I can say, in affecting the increase in the policy rates. So hope that with all those things, what I said, that I also expect that the regulator will not be increasing the rates further. There will be the past may be continuing. This is what is the expectation. So with those things, I still stand that my margin is expected to improve gradually from now onwards.
Right. And sir, is it safe to assume that MCLR loans will still be repricing even going ahead? So you will still have some benefit coming from MCLR repricing?
That ALCO will take a call about repricing the MCLR. based on the cost of funds, and we can infer what it will be.
Okay. So, and sir, last month, if I remember, there was an IT raid, you know, which was pertaining to our bank. While nothing which is financially important, or, you know, it has not impacted the financials, but it says that there was not too much of an internal control when it comes to said procedure, etc. So what is your comment? Have we changed anything? Have we analyzed that? What were the reasons for the alleged lapses in our bank?
Okay. First, I want to give you a clarification that it is not a raid.
Yeah.
There is a difference between the raid and the on-the-spot verification. So I want to give you a clarification. There was no raid in the Tamil Nadu Mercantile Bank. This is really, and this has nothing to do with any of the financial statements of the bank, which the bank has submitted for income tax purposes. These are related to specified transactions which the different entities need to report to the IT department at periodical intervals. Now, you might have gone through the press release of the IT department after they did the on-the-spot verification. On 30th of June, if I am right, they came with a press release. Where, if you look into the last sentence, I will read out, in order to explain the legal obligations and the processes, as well as to address difficulties faced by the reporting entities, outreach programs are being regularly organized by the department across the country. This is another initiative of the department to facilitate ease of compliance. This is what the IT department press release is. Having said, yes, what it is, the various reports which the bank had submitted, the department had found certain errors in the report submitted. I have to now clarify that whatever deficiencies or the defects identified by the department, all those have been rectified, and all the returns which were to be submitted to the department have since been submitted. So I expect that the matter is likely to be closed as early as possible. These defects, one of the reasons could be certain technical glitches because of which these type of errors have occurred. So this is what has happened. I hope that things are clear to everyone.
Right. Right, sir. And last question, sir, is we have a loan book of around 37,000-38,000 crore. That is one of the lowest, and still your loan growth aspirations are 12% to 15% only. Right? We are one of the smaller base, having a good ROA, have abundant capital. So what is that stopping you from growing? Industry itself is growing at 15-16%. We are aspiring to be slightly lower than industry. So wanted to understand, you know, what is stopping you in growing at a faster pace? Thank you.
Well, it's a very good question. My aspiration is also like that. But I also said that we follow the principles of that promise less and deliver more. I hope that we'll be able to be in line with the industry pace. And second is, as far as we are concerned, we are more particular on the bottom line, healthy book, rather than a big top line. So we do lot of due diligence, and then we steadily grow the business. That could be one of the reasons, but nevertheless, as I was explaining, that we also have now taken up the business process re-engineering, based on which we have now created the hubs, we have put in place the relationship managers whose feet are on the streets. So I hope that the period to come, the business will be growing reasonably good and will be at par with the industry average.
Right. Thank you, sir, and all the very best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. In order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to one or two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mr. Lakshmi Narayanan from Tunga Investments. Please go ahead.
Thanks again. To the earlier participant mentioned that the growth aspiration is...
Mr. Lakshmi Narayan, sorry to interrupt. May we request you to use the handset, please? Your audio is not clear.
Is it better now? Is it better now?
Yes, sir. Could you say something?
Yeah. So, earlier you mentioned that your growth aspiration is 20% to 50%, and the question is that when you actually set your targets, is your internal targets different from this number? Number one. Second is, what do you consider as the peer set when you actually benchmark? Is it the Indian banking system or is it the Tamil Nadu credit growth of scheduled banks advances? Or, how do you think about it? Right? How do you do bottom-up internally as well as externally? That's my first question.
Mr. Lakshmanan, I'm sorry to interrupt. We are not able to hear you at all.
Yeah, is it better now or is it still not clear?
Now it is better.
If you can just slightly go slow and at the same time, it will be really helpful.
Yes, sir. So the question is that you had guided between 12% to 15% growth, okay? And you also mentioned that you like to maintain at least the industry growth. When you there are two questions. Or I would say just an extension of that. It is that when you do this target setting, internally, do you have a different target? If so, how do you benchmark it? Do you benchmark with Tamil Nadu credit growth? Tamil Nadu, because your business is 80% Tamil Nadu. Is it TN scheduled bank credit advances growth and you want to grow ahead of it? Or is it the Indian banking system? Or it's the private banks, regional private banks. How do you say that you want to grow ahead of the system? What is your baseline?
See, when we talk of the scheduled commercial banks, even if I take TN, scheduled commercial banks have got the credit portfolio under different segments. It has the RAM and also the corporate, if I have to say in broader sense. As far as the Tamil Nadu Mercantile Bank is concerned, we will be ahead, trying, our aspiration will be that we are at par or ahead in the case of the RAM segment, what is the Tamil Nadu Scheduled Commercial Bank and what is ours. So that is what we will be, because the corporate will be very, very selective and choosing.
Got it. So your target setting and the way in which we as investors, we should look at is, are you growing ahead in terms of the RAM segment within Tamil Nadu scheduled commercial banks?
As far as the June is concerned, we are comparing with the Tamil Nadu scheduled commercial banks, this one. And as I said, the first quarter normally will be a lull for us. But nevertheless, we will be able to catch up. And that is what this one shows to us, the study. Our growth is around 13% in the RAM segment, approximately. I hope that we are at the same pace. We will be accelerating the growth in the coming quarter. As I was telling, the drivers are like having a MSME hub exclusively at select centers, which I will be increasing going forward in Tamil Nadu itself. We have plans already in the final stage of rolling out such things. In the very, very near future. With those things, there will be an accelerated growth which we expect in the RAM segment, particularly when I have to compare with the Tamil Nadu Scheduled Commercial Bank's RAM segment growth.
Got it, sir. And one last question is, you mentioned the top 20 borrowers, it's around 3,200, right? And I assume that all these 20 borrowers come from the segment which is others, right, which is outside the RAM. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Arvind R. from Sundaram Alternates. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Just one small question. Like, so the corporate book has come down, and then wholesale deposits also come down sequentially, I'm talking about. Is there any correlation in that? Like,
there is no correlation between the two. There is no correlation between the two. One of the corporate, AAA, as and when they require, they will be taking up from us, and we are having a good association with that one. So accordingly, it was taken. And when they have the surplus, they close it. So it has no correlation between the reduction in the corporate and the reduction in the wholesale deposit. As a measure, we try always that we will be bringing down the wholesale either on the liability side or on the asset side to eliminate the concentration risk. So towards that, the wholesale deposits we have brought down. One, the retail, as I was explaining that, yes, in the retail we increased the rate of interest. We could garner good deposits, good amount. Now I have a good retail, increased retail customer clientele. Now that being the case with the CD ratio, so we are not for increasing the wholesale deposit. That wholesale deposit as and when required, we can always get. That is how it has come down. It has no correlation.
And just one follow-up question on the IT thing. Like you said, like you know, things are addressed to avoid certain, you know, technical glitches. I'm just trying to get a more understanding of what kind of processes are, you know, being improved there to avoid such issues in the future.
So the, as far as the processes are concerned, that internally I have put in place a system that the all these are basically a taken data extraction from the various systems which the bank has, the primarily the core banking. Now the I am also arranging for getting the script auditor for that purpose, and I am making my concurrent auditors to verify this, so that these type of errors what is seen is not reflected, is not occurred in future when we submit. I can also give some examples like the defect data. What has been given is that the PAN is mandatory for these reports of the income tax. But PAN is not mandatory for account to be opened. So there is, again, we are taking up the income tax department also only. So this one such thing. So normally there will be a defect when I submit, because my customers, I cannot say that you should have the PAN number or you should have the mobile number. So these are some of the things. Then that comes as a defective one. That is what has happened. These are some of the examples, not the exhaustive list. So what we have done is that the extractions one, the script and other things I am putting in place for thorough audit, freezing it like that. And also before submitting to have a verification by the independent person so that we submit a good data.
Okay, thank you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Co. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Dhanyavaad, sir, for the second time opportunity. Sir, as the earlier speaker did mention, sir, if we take the our the banking landscape, we are among small banks only. And sir, we have been listed now for over a year, or almost closer to a year now. And you have been speaking about the value creation ideas. So, but it is appearing from the quarterly numbers also that that there are issues with growth. So, Mane, how are you going to address the same? And because sir, if you look at the interest expended line item for this quarter, that has grown up significantly. So, I think so they have been repricing on the liability franchise. So going ahead, sir, and also sir, you have very correctly guided also us in the last two quarters that the NIMs would be now trending lower to 4% from 4.3 or 4.35, which it was, I think, so for the September and the December quarter. In terms of these sectors ahead, what should investor should expect from you? I thank the board for the dividend payout of rupees 10 per share, although the payout is closer to 11% or 12% only. But still, it's a good gesture. So when you speak of value creation for your investors, for your stakeholders, so what are the levers to which, because growth guidance from you are not matching the industry, and also I think so the space where we are operating, we have constraints with our dominant presence also in certain part only. So these are my some observations, sir. And for the CFO sir to connect with me, what's the procedure? How should I know when and where to connect?
Okay.
Clarification.
Now let me give some flavor of whatever you have asked as far as for the investors are concerned. Now if you look into your NIM, what we guided was 4+. As you also said, yes, we are. Just now I told you that I expect that from now onwards, we expect northerly movement of the margins. That is the NIM is expected to, because whatever repricing was to happen on the liability front, which you have observed that during Q1, the interest expenditure has gone up. So it is expected to stabilize, and I don't expect a further increase in that. Going forward, we will be able to have a little increase in the yield on advances, and the spread is likely to improve. That is one. And the second is, you were also asking about the business growth. I was also explaining that, yes, 12 to 15%, we are given a moderate commitment. We said that we have the policy of promising less and delivering more. That is what we want to follow. We are taking steps towards that goal. If you look into the drivers which will enable me to improve the business, as you observed that we have been operating in area, not only the geography, that we are predominantly focusing on the small segment. Unlike many others who may have a big ticket loads, which will suddenly improve or quickly improve the top line. I was also telling that even the small loans, I'm very cautious because we are focusing on the bottom line. We want to maintain the asset quality. That is why, and we want to distribute the concentration risk. Keeping all these things, still what is the driver that I am going to have? I have explained that we have taken up the project of business process reengineering. We have established the MSME hubs to begin with at 4 centers. We have put in place the relationship managers. All these have started just now in Q1 or end of Q1. So this, I expect that will give me results in the rest of the year, which will enable me to show the better results than which has been now. So I hope that the investors can have the confidence. On the margin, we have continuously demonstrated with a NIM of 4+, and everyone will agree that it is reasonably a good NIM with 4, and the NPA ratio continues to be less, net NPA continues to be less than 1%, with the provision coverage ratio of 90+. In addition, for the investors' confidence, let me tell that the bank has earmarked around 300 crores as a special provision for any contingencies on account of COVID. So these are some of the cushions that are available for the bank, which should enhance the confidence of the investors.
And sir, regarding connecting with this CFO part, please let me know the procedure. And also, sir, I think so off late, we have also observed that the con calls have been skipped by the management, and you have gone for a physical meet with investors. So that is not giving an edge to your investor to participate. So continue with the telephonic conversation as has been the practice.
Okay, we will do that. Telephonically, we will also have. We, wherever possible, we can also have through a video conferencing like a Zoom or whatever call we can have. As far as the CFO contact is concerned, you can note the mail ID, cfo@tmbank.in.
TM. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, right. So, what to conclude is that that going ahead, our deals on advances are going to improve than what we have reported for Q1, and the NIMs will also trend in the trajectory of 4% plus for the year, and that is what you are guiding us for the year as a whole. So, on an EPS of 68 rupees that we posted for FY 2023, what should be the likely trajectory or the growth we can expect, sir, taking into account the current parameter in the current environment?
So, in which growth? Your voice is not audible. The overall business growth I have given.
EPS growth, sir.
EPS growth,
we have posted 68 rupees for FY 23. So, taking into account... Yeah.
Give you the guidance. Okay. I will ask my CFO to give on the EPS. He will be in touch.
Okay. Fine, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was the last question of our question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. S. Krishnan for closing comments.
Thank you very much. In fact, it was a great pleasure to have an interaction with the cross-section of my analysts. I always love to have such interactions. Once again, a big thanks to every one of you for taking the time in the morning hours during the trading time to interact with us. I hope to have such interactions at much more frequent intervals than this one. And wherever possible, we will also have the physical meeting. We will also have the digital meeting. Thank you all once again and wish you a very happy and great day. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Tamil Nadu Mercantile Bank Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.